Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, What I Googled This Week, where we find out what weird thing my toddler is seeing in the middle of the night, and we close with our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Let's get started. Hi everyone, welcome to the show. This is episode 172. Hello, Shauna.
Hi.
Hi. So let's get straight to it. I want to know what's going on with you, what's going on with your girls, and just give me the rundown.
Oh, I'll tell you what's up with the girls. Okay. Cece's 2 years and 9 months or so. And okay, so you know I recently transitioned her to her full-size bed, so she's not in a crib anymore. She has freedom to escape the bed. But she has not figured out that that's a thing she can do. Like, I put her in bed and she stays there, which has been awesome. And I knew that wouldn't last forever, but I wasn't expecting it. The other day when I'm dead asleep, everything's dark outside, all of a sudden I hear my doorknob open and pat, 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 little footsteps. And I was like, that's probably Elle, because sometimes she comes and gets me in the middle of the night if she has a bad dream or something. And I turn over and there's a tiny little head peeking up above the bed. And then Cece, I was like, oh, hi. You discovered you can leave your bed and leave your room. Awesome. And I was so dead tired. I was like, why don't you crawl in bed and sleep with me? Because it's not wake up time. And she came into bed and we had a great snuggle. And, you know, she moved around quite a bit. I didn't exactly go back to sleep, but it was nice to snuggle with her and everything. The next morning, 5 a.m., doorknob open, pad, 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 little footsteps. Hi, Mama. And I'm like, no, not again. Two times makes a pattern, which is going to lead to a habit, which is going to lead to no sleep for me forevermore. Fuck. So I just like freaked out because I did not want her to just start waking up at 5 a.m. every day and coming to get me.
Yeah, you don't want that. So she's not at all like contained in her room. You don't have childproofing on the door or anything like that?
No. Nope. Didn't even really think about it because she's been pretty good about staying in there. And yeah, I don't know. It's just, you know how it is with second kids. You're just kind of more lenient, not really thinking of things or following through on things. So it's just something I was like, eh, whatever. No big deal, I guess. So yeah, she's been coming into my room every day, 5 a.m.
Okay, so I know that you are a person who likes to solve problems.
How'd you know?
I know you so well, and I'm sure our listeners know this as well. So, well, first of all, is this a problem or are you happy with the snuggles?
Well, the second day was not good because I tried again, just like, okay, snuggle with me. I'm not ready to get up. And she would not lay still. She was like all over the place, rolling over my head, you know, jumping around. And finally, I think we just ended up starting the day and getting out of bed at like 5:15 because she was wide awake. I couldn't do anything, you know? And yeah, it was a problem. And so I took to the old internet and
the old Google.
The old Google search.
The old Facebook moms groups.
I had my own solution in mind for this one. So I went straight to Amazon, actually,
gotcha.
If I'm being honest. And I Googled okay to wake clocks. We have one for Elle, but I wanted something different for Cece, something more simple, really clear and easy for her to understand. And I found one that's a little puppy dog. And it's really cute. You know, my kids are obsessed with dogs, so it's perfect. And he's holding a ball. So when the ball is red, the idea is the kid knows to stay in bed, right? You can set this clock to whatever time you want it to change. And when the ball is green, the kid knows that they can get out of bed and start their day. And I was like, same day delivery is available. Okie dokie. And so I placed my order and it was there by 10 o'clock that night for us to try.
Okay. So 10 o'clock at night, obviously you didn't get to use it that night. Did
right.
she crawl out of bed that night as well?
She did, except that night it was 4 a.m. So
oh,
yeah, even worse. And that time I was like, you know what? I'm going to try getting her back into her own bed. And I took her back to her bed and snuggled with her for a while. And after about an hour, she finally fell back asleep and I went to bed. But then that night I introduced the dog clock, okay to wake clock, to her. And she loved it. She thought it was so cool. and cute and totally grasp the concept right away. Red, red, stay in bed. Green, green, come get me. That's what I tell her, right? Like, okay, she can come get me if it's green. And she was all into it. We said it that night, and I let her go to bed. And the next day, she actually slept until 6:30 a.m., which was awesome. Yeah. Total coincidence, I think, really. I think she was just overtired from her early mornings the previous three nights. But
yeah, because you have a Wi-Fi camera, you could go like check on it, right? Could you go check and see if she even consulted the clock?
Yeah, no, she didn't. She just happened to sleep through, but she was so excited when she woke up and saw that it was green. I did see on the monitor that she woke up, looked at it at 6:30 and was like, to no one in particular, she was like, it's green. It's green. It's green. Mama, it's green. It's green. It's green. And, you know, just very, very excited about it. So the concept clicked. And so far, so good. We've had it in effect for about 2 or 3 days now. And I think it's going pretty well.
Yeah. So we use the Hatch Rest light that I think we've talked about before. I think it was my BFP one week.
Mm-hmm.
And we do the same thing. If it's red, you stay in bed. If it's green, I don't know. He knows green means go. So I was just like, green means go. Mm-hmm. It's so funny to me. He'll wake up and look at it and just be like, it's green. It's green, everybody. It's green.
Oh, that's so cute. Because he doesn't get out of his crib yet, right? Like, he's screaming for you guys to come get him, basically.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. He doesn't get out of his crib. But it was like something we implemented kind of for quiet time more than anything, so he could know when quiet time was going to be over in lieu of nap mm-hmm. time. But then we also use it for the mornings to try to be consistent. And yeah, he gets very excited. It's green! It's green! So cute.
Yeah, it's so cute. I love it. So this week, you know, I've been really, really tired because of all the wake-ups and everything. Mm-hmm. I'm dealing with that. My other check-in, I don't know if anybody wants to hear one more update about my IUD situation, which I've talked about a couple times, my lost IUD.
I believe everyone wants to hear an update on your lost IUD. I think everyone's waiting to find out where the hell that string is. What is going on?
Okay. Well, I did find out where the string is.
Okay. Where was it? Was it on a nice tropical vacation?
Wouldn't that be so rude if it was just like off on a tropical vacation while I was stuck here in like quarantine? So uncool, IUD string.
It's at a film festival. It's a Sundance. Living it up while you're raising children. Stupid
I'm
IUD
so
string.
Jealous. So jealous. As you know, I did have an ultrasound and it confirmed that the IUD was in place, like mm-hmm. it was where it was supposed to be. And I was like, okay, that's good. But after a couple weeks, I was just like, you know, it's too stressful for me to not know where the string is and like not be sure if it's in the right place. And in general, like the IUD had been causing me a lot of bloating and like I just didn't feel physically quite right. Mm-hmm. And I had been bleeding for like 2.5 months, which I hear is normal, like that peters off. But I'm impatient. I'm just an impatient person, I guess.
Well, I mean, I don't know if bleeding every day for 2.5 months is normal. Like, it's not typical, at least. Like, I don't think that all the people who get Mirena IUDs or whatever. What did you get? Skyla? A different one?
A Kylina.
Kylina. You know, mm-hmm. I don't think that's the common thing that can happen. I know it can happen, but yeah, I wouldn't say that it was like typical.
Uh-huh.
But I'm just saying, like, yeah, I think you're right to be like pissed off about the fact that you were bleeding every day for that long.
Yeah. So I was annoyed and I was telling Steve about this and he's like, well, I don't know why you got an IUD. I'll just get a vasectomy.
What?
And I was like, why didn't you tell me that before I went and got this device inserted into my body?
These are details that could have been useful earlier, right?
Before they pried my clenched cervix open.
Your cervix of steel.
Yes.
With a crowbar. They had to get it open.
Yes, exactly. Crowbars were definitely involved in that process. So, you know, that was my first reaction. But my second reaction was, well, that's awesome. I mean, I've bared the brunt of birth control for decades, right? Not to mention being pregnant twice, having IVF, you know, going through all this stuff. And like now he's willing to step up and be the person to take control of that part of our life. And so I was like, that's very cool. Okay. All right. I'll take you up on that.
That's great.
Yeah. So my first reaction was definitely, why didn't you tell me this sooner? Second reaction was, that's awesome. You know, I've been bearing the brunt of birth control in our relationship for a long time. Had two kids, went through IVF. Like, I've done so much reproductive-wise for our relationship. And I'm like, yeah, if you want to step up and be in charge of that now, that would be amazing. So I made an appointment, and I got that IUD taken out.
So it's gone?
It's gone.
Gone. So, okay, was it easier to take out than it was to put in, or was it also a harrowing experience?
Oh, hell no, it was not.
Oh, no.
Very harrowing. She got down there and she's like, okay, ooh, that's a tight one. Let's see what we do. And she starts to go and I'm like, did you want to give me lidocaine? Because you did last time. And she's like, oh, yeah, yeah. I guess if we did it last time, you're going to need it this time. And she's like, nurse, get my needles or, you know.
Oh, my God.
Same thing. Like, I had to inject me and open it up. But then she pulled it out and she showed it to me, which was not exactly pleasant, but I got to see that the wire was coiled up around the top of the T part of the IUD. So somehow it had gotten completely flipped up the opposite direction and like wrapped around the top. So it was there. It was not in Cancun. It was not in Salt Lake City at Sundance.
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad that, you know, you were able to make the right decision for you and your family. And you also have like multiple options available to you. You know, like that's the thing right now is like there's pills, there's IUDs, there's the implant, there's tubal ligation, there's vasectomies. Like there's so many options for birth control now that like you shouldn't have to stick with one that's not working for you. So good for you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And hopefully this is the last time anything goes in or out of your cervix.
That would be a dream. Fingers crossed. So, yeah, that is my update for the week. What about you guys? How are you doing?
Yeah, we're good. So Augie is 2 years, 8 months. Months stop being that important.
Yeah.
Sebastian is 7 months, which is a fun time for a little baby. But let's see. I'll start with Augie. So I've checked in about how he's had a little bit of trouble, anxiety, if you will, about going to school. And we've had some hard drop-offs, right? But I wanted to check in and say this week is a little better. He's
good.
A little anxious at drop-off, but not like sobbing, clinging or anything like that anymore. You know, he's he's just kind of like nervously looking around and making me hold him until we hand him off. But he's otherwise doing okay. And every time I pick him up, he says, before anything else, he'll like hug me and say, I missed you. And then he says, I want to go back to school.
Aw, he loves it. That's good.
He does love it. He does love it. So I'm glad about that. I, you know, I wish we could get him in for more days. I've like put him officially on the waiting list for more days because I think that would really help him. So, but yeah, so school's going well in that respect. I'm really enjoying the 2 days we have that are a little bit freer because not only do we have him in school, but we have our nanny Eliza. So like there are two kind of half days where I get to be a little independent, which is a nice change. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's great. What's not great are our middle of the night wakings that I want to talk about.
Oh, you too?
Ugh. Yes. What the hell, man? Like, what is up with these kids?
Don't know.
Twice this week, Augie's woken up at 4 a.m.
Oof.
Like standing up in his crib and going like, Mama, Mama, and calling for me. And like if Corey goes in, he loses his shit because he was calling for me. So then I go in and I'm trying to like, and I'll go in and he'll go like, sing me songs. And then he'll ask for like cheese.
Cheese.
I think I've talked about this on the show. I think even my BFP one week was our night cheese routine.
That's right.
It started. Well, night cheese has seemed to backfire recently because he wakes up in the middle of the night and goes, I want some sliced cheese.
I mean, you kind of set yourself up there, my friend.
Yeah, true. But we never like intended to give it to him in the middle of the night. It was like a pre-sleep snack to help him sleep through the night, not a 4 a.m. Right. sliced cheese. And by the way, he will not eat round cheese. He will not eat a stick of cheese. He will not eat shredded cheese. He only wants sliced cheese right now. It's very specific. Yeah.
Wow.
But like, for instance, my mom visited when she was here last time. She went to the store for us and she was like, what can I get? And I was like, oh, get some sliced cheddar cheese. And she came back with like white sliced cheddar cheese, not like the orange sliced cheddar cheese.
Oh, no, no, no. How dare she?
And we're not talking about American cheese. Like, he likes sharp. He likes a Tillamook. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Our listeners outside of, like, the West Coast know a Tillamook. I don't know if it's a nationwide brand. But it's like, he likes a high-class sharp cheddar cheese.
Oh, you know, Elle's favorite is the seaside cheddar, like English coastal cheddar from Whole Foods. That is the one she will eat. So I hear you.
She's like, it must be like $32 a pound.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. So yeah. I don't give in to the night cheese, not the middle of the night cheese, but like I do try to sing him songs. And, you know, I don't know if it's nightmares or what, but it's both very sweet and endearing. And I want to like give him snuggles and also like exasperating because I'm like, dude, the fucking baby sleeps through the night. Get your shit together. Like, I have been looking forward to having my nights back. And you're messing it up, kid.
Oh, man. I am here to tell you that the night wakings don't end anytime soon. I mean, it's not terrible with Elle, but I was caught off guard by this, too. Especially when Cece finally started sleeping through the night, then Elle would wake up, you know, needing comfort or whatever. I think she started having bad dreams around that age or whatever. And even still at 5 years old, every now and again, she wakes up and needs some comfort. And it's, I guess, like we have to parent around the clock. Was that part of the bargain?
I was not informed of this. I didn't get that in my manual. My manual said it was strictly between the hours of 6 a.m. and like 7 p.m.
Same.
I'm gonna be in touch with my union representative about this one.
If you could. Let's go on strike.
For now, we're dealing with some 4 a.m. wakings. And I mean, it's been intermittent. There have been plenty of nights, more nights this week than not, where he slept through. So we'll see what happens. But I actually have a little bit more of a check-in on that that I will be talking about in our special segment. So I'll leave it at that. Yes, a little teaser there. But I did want to have a little check-in about the baby because he's just a cutie pie. He is just like growing so fast. And like, I don't know, I just feel like the 7 months, you know, from like 6 to 7 months, they just acquire skills so fast. And one thing he did this week is he said, dada, really clearly.
Oh, yay, dada.
Dada. I wish I had it on like an audio voice memo, but I don't. But maybe I'll try to get it.
Shucks.
See if I can get it on there. But dada. And then it'll go dada. But it's just very sweet.
Is it more of a babble or is he specifically saying dada toward Corey?
It's both. So he's going like, dead, just sort of randomly when he's, a lot of times when he's chewing on stuff, like, you know, finger foods and stuff I'm starting to give him. But there were times where he's like clearly said it towards Corey. So like when Corey's walked away with his dinner spoons, it's always when he wants like more food. This kid is very food oriented.
Motivated.
Like he'll drop his spoons on the ground and Corey will like pick them up to go rinse them off in the kitchen sink. And as Corey was walking away, he was like, dada.
Oh my God. That's so cute. Are you jealous that he's saying dada before mama?
No, because everything is mama in this house. Like, honestly, like, mm-hmm. Augie's yelling for mama in the middle of the night. I do not have any concerns about Sebastian's desire for my affection and love, because if I turn my back to him, he starts crying.
Yes.
I'm perfectly fine with sharing some of that affection towards dada.
Aww, that's so sweet.
It's sweet. And then one other thing that happened this week is a very unappreciated milestone, I think, which is he figured out how to get to sitting all by himself.
Oh, yeah. That's a big one.
It is a big one. And it's not like ever listed, I feel like, in the like milestones to look out for. You know, it's always like crawling, walking, you know, standing alone, but like getting to sitting by yourself is actually a very complicated maneuver. Like if you try it, like listeners, go lie on the floor on your tummy and then try to get to your butt. Like it requires a lot of coordinated muscle movements.
True.
And he's been working on it really hard. And this week he finally just did it from the floor. Like he used to be able to do it, like, you know, for a week or two, he's been able to do it if there was something in front of him, like a, you know, a block that was high enough or a couch so he could use that as leverage. But now he can do it straight from the floor or from his crib. And when he does it, he looks so proud. It's the cutest.
Good for him.
He sits up and then he just like, he's sitting up. You know how babies have like perfect posture? He's sitting there and he's just looking around like his head on a swivel, like, who's going to praise me? So we give him little claps, like we clap for him. And he thought that was really fun. And so he is now getting to seated on his own. And it's very fun. And it gives him a whole new perspective on the world, I feel like.
True. I feel like that is the thing that happened with my girls right before they started crawling. Like they needed to understand going from the floor to sitting so that they could then like lean over and crawl. So I wonder if crawling is coming soon for him.
I think it might be. He will get up onto all fours, but then flop right back down. Like he hasn't coordinated that movement yet. And he army crawls, obviously. But yeah, it took a while for Augie to figure out how to crawl, I think. So, you know, and my mom says I never really crawled.
Oh, that's right.
I just kind of went straight to walking. So she says she doesn't think I liked the sensation of my knees like being on the ground. So we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see. But yeah, so that's been our week. We've had better drop offs. He's gotten a little annoying with his middle of the night wake ups. Sorry, I sound like such an insensitive mom. He's not annoying. He has needs and I'm just tired. But the baby is super cute and growing and a real sweetie pie. So that is our week.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So what do you think? Should we take a break and come back with our special segment?
All righty. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We're back, and this week's special segment is What I Googled This Week, one of our old favorites where we are stumped by some parenting, pregnancy, something issue in our life, and we take to the internet to find out answers, and then we share them with you. Laura, you're up first. What have you Googled recently?
So this one is related to those wonderful 4 a.m. wakings I was talking about in my check-in this week.
Ah.
So what I Googled this week was toddler seeing sprinkles.
Wait, what?
Exactly.
Seeing sprinkles? Like
sprinkles.
Cupcake sprinkles?
Well, I don't know, because he's 2 and a half and sometimes he says things that don't make sense. But so both nights when I went in to his room in the middle of the night, so I go in and he's like, I want water. I want songs. I want sliced cheese, all that shit. Right.
Uh-huh.
But he would be like in his crib and sort of talking, like clearly didn't want to go back to sleep. And he would go, why are there sprinkles? Why are there so many sprinkles everywhere? Like, what are the sprinkles? And yeah. And then the other time I went in the middle of the night, he was like, the sprinkles were back. The sprinkles came back. And I was like, what in the world are you talking about?
Whoa.
So I Googled it. And it's actually fascinating because I am not alone, Shauna.
What?
There is a thread that started in May 2012 on a message board called DC Urban Moms and Dads, dcurbanmom.com. And the original post is titled, "Sun Sees Colored Dots in the Middle of the Night. Any ideas?" And the anonymous author says, "Anyone else heard of seeing colored dots in the middle of the night? Sprinkles, as my dear son calls them. He wakes up from them almost every other night and gets scared and is up for an hour or two. He sees them with his eyes open and closed only at night. We've been to the eye doctor, but not sure what else to do or what else it could be. Hoping others have heard of this. Thanks." There are 6 pages of comments.
Whoa.
It goes all the way to the most recent comment was just in June 2020. So like it's an 8-year thread, basically. But a lot of people are commenting about how this is a thing that happened to them when they were kids.
Oh.
Some people were worried that it could be like retinal detachment, which was actually something I was worried about, too. I know that one of the symptoms of retinal detachment is you see like flashes of light and like sparkles. But he knows the difference between sparkles and sprinkles, first of all. Like, he's told me this. And it's only at night that this is happening, and it's not getting worse. Like, it should continue, right? If he's having a retinal detachment, like, it should keep happening. So one person suggested it was a hypnagogic hallucination, which is like a hallucination like that happens in the transition from sleeping to waking. But that didn't quite sit right because he said the sprinkles were there when he was fully awake. But we were in the dark with like the hatch light on a very low red. So it was very dim in there. And of course, there are people who are suggesting that maybe like he's seeing spirits or ghosts, which I'm just like, no, thanks.
Oh, that's the first thing I thought of. I'm sorry, but I did. I was like, ghosts flying everywhere. Yeah.
And then some people were suggesting that maybe it's an aura for a migraine. It's like, well, okay, like both his mom and dad both get migraines, so that makes sense. But then someone linked to something that was really plausible, which is a article from scienceline.org, which is titled, "Why Do We See Colors With Our Eyes Closed?" And it reminded me of when I was a little kid, I would lie in bed with my eyelids closed and just like enjoy the light show that I would see. Was this a thing that you did? Do you remember this?
I don't know that I like specifically sat there and enjoyed the light show, but I can picture seeing lights. Even when I close my eyes now, I can kind of see things.
Yeah. And I think that now we're just adults and we just sort of like filter it out because we're used to seeing it. But I distinctly remember lying in bed, closing my eyes and just like watching like the colors come in and out. And apparently this is a phenomenon called phosphenes, which according to a Hungarian neuroscientist named István Bokan, he says, "We see biophotonic light inside our eyes in the same way we see photons from external light. Biophotons exist in your eyes because atoms constantly emit and absorb tiny particles of light or photons. The photon exchange is just a normal part of cellular function, and your eyes can't tell the difference between photons from outside light and the biophotons emitted by your own atoms."
Oh, that's fascinating.
Right? So you're like literally seeing biophotons that are being emitted. I always thought it was just light leaking in through your eyelids or some kind of hallucination. But apparently it might be these phosphenes. And in low light situations, you can see them too, apparently. So I think that's what's going on with him. I think he's in the low light and with his eyes closed, he's seeing like this light show from biophotons. And that's what he's calling the sprinkles.
Oh, that's cool. I'm so glad that you found a plausible answer. Google comes through.
Google comes through. And this thread came through. I love old message boards. Like, I wish we used message boards more. Like, because you can go back and see 2012 discussions, and you can't do that really with like Facebook moms groups very easily. So anyway, I think it's cool, but I don't think the middle of the night wakings are cool. So I was trying to tell him like the sprinkles are okay. Like, sprinkles aren't scary. Sprinkles are delicious.
Yeah. How are you going to explain it to him?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Like, oh, well, those are just biophotons you're seeing.
Biophotons.
Or it could be an optical migraine. Whatever. Don't worry about it. Just go back to sleep. Kid.
Yeah. Just go back to sleep, please.
Yeah. So hopefully he doesn't see too many sprinkles going forward.
Yeah, I hope not, especially at 4 a.m.
At 4 a.m., oh my gosh. But anyway, that is what I Googled this week. Shauna, how about you?
My what I Googled this week is, why doesn't my child look like me?
Oh,
I'm so embarrassed to admit that I Googled that, but I did.
Okay, I'm assuming you're talking about Cece because Elle kind of looks like your little carbon copy.
Yes, yes, she does. Everyone always says that she's a spitting image of me and that Cece is a spitting image of Steve, which I agree with. First of all, Elle has my coloring, right? She's mm-hmm. got kind of lighter blondish, reddish, strawberry blonde hair. She has light eyes, blue eyes, light, cool skin tone. And then Cece has all of Steve's features. She's got the dark hair, dark eyes, more olive toned skin. And just like all of her features to me scream the Steve Yeager clan. And I'm like, how is that possible? How does my baby like not look like me at all? I don't want her to like listen to this in the future and be like, my mom like didn't love me because I didn't look like her. It's not that at all. It's just one of those things when you're a parent that you think about, but maybe don't talk about it. Don't admit that you think about. And then you consult the internet and try to find answers and then talk about it on your podcast for everyone to find out, as you do. So that's where I'm at.
Well, okay, a couple things. One is, yes, there is a strong resemblance to Steve. Like, it's unmistakable. But I do think she does look like you, especially in some photos. Like, there was a photo.
Really?
Yes, there was a photo that you posted to our podcast Instagram recently. Yeah, okay, so this one that you posted recently, she's wearing, like, pink shorts and a flowery top and holding a little, like, toy in her hand. And then mm-hmm. if you swipe, there's another one where she's reading It's Not the Stork. She looks like you in these photos. To me,
really?
She does, especially in the one where It's Not the Stork. Yeah, I see a lot of Shauna in there. So
interesting.
I think you might be having trouble seeing it a little mm-hmm. bit, but you're right. I do think that Elle definitely has a more strong like resemblance to you than she does. But I totally see a lot of you in these photos.
Well, that's interesting. Maybe I am too close to it because with Elle, I see myself in her, but I do also see Steve. Like, I see mm-hmm. some of her features are very Yeager. And with Cece, I'm like, all Yeager. Like, that's all I see. So I get confused about how that happened scientifically, you know? And then also, this is really kind of sensitive or embarrassing for me to admit, but let's recall that I had Cece via IVF, right? Mm-hmm. So there's part of me that's like, my egg left my body, went somewhere. I don't know. I mean, I had to trust the doctors and the clinic and everything and then like make its way back to my body. So part of me is like, I don't know. Do I need to get a DNA test? Oh my God, I feel terrible. I feel so terrible.
Oh my God.
I'm the worst.
All right, right. So here's the thing. I'm guessing, based on what I know about IVF and what I remember from you guys going to your appointments, is that you did the egg retrieval. And meanwhile, Steve is in another room providing the sample. And like they literally had to be done at the exact same time, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in order for your egg and Steve's sperm to get like mixed up, there would have to be another person getting their eggs retrieved at the mm-hmm. exact same time mm-hmm. and what, like the nurses switch rooms or something? Like,
yeah,
it seems unlikely. It seems extremely unlikely.
That's true.
And obviously Steve's sperm was used because you don't need a DNA test there. Like he is 100% the father of both of your
yes.
children.
Yes, that's yes. true. It's not as chaotic in these situations as, you know, I'm imagining in yeah. my worst nightmare. Yeah, it's probably very clear cut. Like they took the eggs out, probably just transferred them to where they were going to mix them up with the sperm. And then that was that. So it's very, very,
very
highly
unlikely.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
That said, I don't want to like, I was trying to tell you that to reassure you, but I don't want to like diminish your worry because I would probably be going there in my head as well. I mean, you hear about all these like horror stories on the news about clinics like mixing up eggs and stuff, and that's scary. But I don't think that's the case for you. So I think that it makes sense to worry about it, but I don't think it's a legitimate like concern that should keep you up at night.
Okay. 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 Good.
But I also wanted to point out one thing.
What?
Which is your two girls were indistinguishable from each other as babies. Like,
true.
To the point where you had a game at Cece's first birthday party, which was like, tell the babies apart. Like, which photo is which baby?
And no one did very well on that game, except you, no. I think.
I still think, like, I didn't get like a... you know, I think I got like 60% right or something, and I just won because it was such a hard game.
I know. I think even Steve did not do very well on that game. So, yeah.
So the point is that maybe they don't look alike right now, but like they clearly come from the same stock if they look identical as babies.
That's true. They come from the same stock. Yes. Well, that makes me feel better. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what did you find anything out in your Google search, or was it just like more fear mongering?
It was not fear mongering. What I really found was just a bunch of general, like middle school level explanations of how genes and chromosomes work. Mm-hmm. You know, we all took science and learned about like Punnett squares and recessive and dominant genes and stuff like that. And I knew that kind of stuff, I guess. And I think the thing about me is that my traits are recessive. Light hair, light eyes, those are recessive traits. And mm-hmm. I guess somewhere in Steve's DNA, he also has those. And so they happen to match up when Elle was made. Whereas when Cece was made, I assume his dominant genes from dark hair, darker like hazel brown eyes, you know, more olive skin tone. I guess all of those things just came out full force with her. That's all I can really figure, but I'm still just like, beyond coloring, I'm just like, features, right? The mm-hmm. eyes, the eyelashes, the nose, the mouth, like every single feature just looks so much like Steve. And I guess the Punnett square doesn't satisfy my curiosity about how or why one parent can like truly dominate a child's, you know, physical appearance like that.
Hmm. Well, I do have a resource for this.
You do?
You may know her as Grandma.
Oh. That's right. Your geneticist mother.
My mother is a geneticist. This happens to be her specialty.
Oh, my gosh. I should have just called her instead of asking Google.
Well, we could call her.
Oh, my God. Could she provide the answer to my question, do you think?
I think she could. Here's the thing. Her ability to, like, get on a three-way FaceTime is limited. So why don't you ask the question? I'll send it to her, and we'll get a voice memo from her back, and we'll play it at the end of the episode. How's that for a plan?
Okay. Yeah, I would love to hear her take on this. I would love to. Yes.
Okay, we'll do that. And listeners, stick around to the end of the episode. You'll be able to hear Grandma Susan, aka Dr. Winter, board certified geneticist, can answer this one.
Cool. All right. I'm satisfied for now, and I'll wait for that answer.
All right. So Google has helped us learn a few things this week, and now it's time to move on to our BFPs and BFNs.
All right. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors, there's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
All right, it's time for our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Laura, you're up first. What do you got for us?
Okay, I have a BFP.
Okay.
Which is something I'm actually going to send you a photo of in a second. But my BFP is something that, like, I created on my own. I actually, like, couldn't find an example of this. And so I, like, figured out how to do it by myself. I DIY'd something.
Ooh.
And it only took, like, 5 minutes. So, like, you know, it barely counts as a craft. Uh-huh. But I made a gallery wall for hanging up Augie's art.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So, okay, the problem with sending your kids to preschool is that they come home with art, Shauna.
Mm-hmm.
I love it and I hate it. Like, it's sweet. I really like seeing it. The problem is, like, I really do not need to keep 100 pieces of paper that my 2.5-year-old like haphazardly slapped paint on.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want to show him that I appreciate the effort he put into making this art, and I want to encourage him to make more art. And so I was like, what the fuck do I do with all this stuff, right? Like, do I file it away? Do I take pictures and throw it away? And that's when I was like, oh, I am going to create a gallery wall where I can rotate what's hanging up and, like, display his art for a period of time when it comes home and then throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
Except unless it's, like, some really special thing. And so that was a great revelation because I was like, okay, great. So it ticks all the boxes. It shows we appreciate it. We get to display it, but it's also, like, not permanent. Because, like, you know, if I was thinking, oh, we frame it, but then you're like, ugh, even if you rotate frames, it's always a pain in the butt, right? You have to, like, take it down off the wall and you have to, like, peel the back off and do the little tabs, and the tabs are always, like, annoying and you can't get them off, and then you can't get them back in, and then you never actually do it, and then you still end up with a pile of art.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I got to come up with something I can rotate easily. So I rummaged through my toolbox and I found some, like, picture hanging wire. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
It's the stuff that, like, you get in a box of, like, picture hanging tools. And, like, I've literally never used it, but they always give you wire and some extra nails so you can, like, put the wire on the back of a frame if your frame, I guess, doesn't have a wire for some reason.
Yeah.
I never use it. It always just goes unused. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to take that. I'm going to hammer 2 nails into the wall and just stretch this wire across and get some clothespins. And voila, we got a gallery wall.
I love it. That's a great idea.
So here, I'm going to send you the picture right now of his beautiful art. Here it comes.
Okay. Aw, that looks great. Very cute. Yeah, I like it.
Thanks. Yeah, it's very simple. I kind of want to do more than one row now so it fills up the wall a little better. But It's just plain clothespins, plain wire. But, you know, it looks like we're doing something. So there you go.
Because you are. I like the clothespins, too, because you can adjust the size. Like if you have a big piece of art, you can just stretch one over here and one way down there and hang it up. Because sometimes my kids have ginormous art, like huge pieces of paper. And sometimes they're very small. So your setup there will accommodate all sizes.
And you may notice there is a really fine piece of art on the right. Apparently in school, according to his teachers, he decided he needed to use Q-tips as a medium, not as a tool to apply the paint, but to actually stick onto the paint. And I think it's really a comment on preschool art critics. And
yes.
Yeah. I'm sure you can see that it comes through.
Oh, yes. It's very meta. Good for him, you know? I appreciate him thinking outside of the box there.
But anyway, so yeah, if you have kids who are creating art and you are like, what the fuck do I do with this weird, mediocre art? Sorry, kids. Your art is beautiful. gallery wall, super easy. And bonus, I had extra wire left over, so I took it to the other wall and hung up a little bit like on a stretch of wall. And I clipped up just like prints, photo prints that I had printed out. So it can create a little photo wall.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I just printed a bunch of family photos recently and I need somewhere to put them because I like having them around that so the girls can see pictures of Nana, Pop-Pop, Grandma, you and your family and, you know, our friends and stuff. And I'm just like, where do I put these? But something like this would be great. And then we can just change them out as we get new photos and stuff like that.
Yeah. And I know Target like sells pre-made straight, like they have like fairy lights with little clips on them. And that's fine. I just didn't want to have to leave. I couldn't go to Target at the time. So I was like, what do I have around the house? So you could also get like cute clothespins. They make like colorful clothespins. I just had cheap, like the normal cheap ones. But, you know, do your aesthetic and do it up.
Yeah. Love it.
So that's my BFP. Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN?
I have a BFN.
What?
Okay, here we go. All right. So 2 weeks ago, I think I reported that Elle came home from school sick. She made it like a week and a half in kindergarten and then got sick. It ended up just being a cold, but she did have to miss school and it started with a sore throat. And because of COVID and everything, I was just like, okay, you know, just stay home. But then the next day she got a fever and all that jazz. Well, she learned very quickly that telling mommy and daddy she has a sore throat yields her results that she wants. No. This week was an odd week. She had a day off in the middle of the week for teacher conferences or something like that. And then she had to go back for one day, for like Friday, right?
Oh, geez.
So it was really weird. Yeah. It was really strange to explain to her, like, you have to just go back for one day. Well, she woke up that next day and was like, oh, my throat hurts. Me and Steve look at each other like, really? I was so skeptical. I was like,
oh man,
let me take your temperature. Let me double check. I was just like, I bet she's not telling the truth because she doesn't want to go to school after having a day off. And she knew that last time she did this, she got to stay home. And I was so skeptical and also guilty because you're not supposed to send them to school if they have a sore throat in COVID times. And I was agonizing over it, but just my gut instinct was like, I think she's lying. I really do. And Steve was like kinder about it than me. He was more sympathetic. He was like, okay, honey, let's have you stay home. And I was just like, I had so much to do today and now I have to supervise two kids. I was just, I guess, not in a good mood that day anyway. So she did stay home from school and was totally fine all day, right? Like good energy, playing, all this stuff. And I was like, well, I don't know. Maybe she will have a fever tomorrow. Who knows? You know, you got to trust a five-year-old this day and age to let you know how they feel.
Self-report. Yeah.
Yeah. Self-report. And at the end of the day, she was going to bed. Steve was putting her to bed. And she looked at him and said, I have to tell you something. And he's like, oh, okay, what do you need to tell me? She goes, I lied about the sore throat because I wanted to stay home.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm so impressed though because she like actually copped to it.
She did. She did. She's very self-aware. If she makes any kind of mistake, she has, you know, she knows she made a mistake. She feels guilty and stuff like that. I think in the morning, Steve was saying something like, you got to tell us the truth about if you have a sore throat or not, because if you lie about that kind of thing, it'll be hard for us to trust you in the future, you know, like trying to give a lesson about it. And she was still like, looked at him in the morning and was like, my throat hurts. So I think it was eating at her all day. Like she knew she lied and whatever. So she copped to it. And I was vindicated, of course. I was like, I knew it. I called it. But I'm just like, oh, God, she lied.
So, OK, so how did you guys handle it? Like, what do you do in that situation?
Good question. I had to ask Steve how he responded to that because I wasn't there. And he said that he first praised her for telling the truth and admitting it, and like that had a lot of courage to tell me the truth, and talked about, you know, how did it feel to lie? Did it feel yucky? And she's like, yeah, and let's, you know, try to tell the truth to each other going forward. And like, he didn't want to make too big of a deal of it at the moment because it was like right before bed. And
of course, you know,
we try to keep things calm at bedtime. But we are way more on top of it when she says things like this now, because she's probably told us she has a sore throat 5 or 6 more times since this has happened.
So the lesson hasn't been 100% absorbed.
Nope, not by the 5-year-old. She's like, I have a sore throat. I'm like, oh, that's too bad. She goes, can I go to school with a sore throat? And I'm like, yep, sure can. So now we're just like sending her to school with, quote, sore throat, because, you know, if I see any other indication that, you know, she might actually not be feeling well, obviously I'll keep her home. But and we're just going forward more skeptically with her self-reporting. It's just tricky with sore throats because it's not something you can confirm. Like I can confirm a fever, right, by taking her temperature.
Yeah.
But if she has a really sore throat, I'm like, what do? I guess look at her throat. But even when I look at her throat when she's sick, I don't know what I'm looking at down there. It all looks the same to me. So just taking it a day at a time.
Yeah. Well, next time she does have a real sore throat, look at it and like note how red it is and stuff. Because I do feel like you can really see a change. Like I can tell with me, like when, even if it's just a sore throat from like snoring, I can see my throat is really red and irritated. So if you can like get a baseline, you know what I mean? You might be able to tell the next time because it will actually look different if you get to know how her throat looks on a normal day.
That's a good
idea. That's what I'd say. Yeah.
Yes, yes. I definitely need to do that. She's moved on to, like, she adds other things into her repertoire now. She had, like, a bloody booger the other day and was like, I was like, oh, I think you had, like, a little bloody nose. She's like, oh, a bloody nose. Can I go to school with a bloody nose? I'm like, yep, sure can.
Yep.
So anything and everything. She's like, my ear hurts. Oh, can I go to school with a hurt ear? Yep.
Oh, man. I would have done that 100% as a kid, though. Like, and mostly because I just didn't want to wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
I was not a morning person. I loved school.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's throwing me for a loop because I loved school and I don't ever remember wanting to skip school.
Interesting.
To each their own, I suppose. But anyway, that's my BFN for the week.
I think that's our episode.
I think it is. Don't forget to stick around at the end of the episode for the voice memo answer to my question from Laura's mom, Dr. Winter, about why my baby doesn't look like me. In the meantime, if you have anything you've Googled recently you want to share with us, send it our way. We love hearing from you. Laura, where can they reach us?
We are on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at BFP Podcast. We have a website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com. And if you want to send us an email, you can always include a voice memo in those emails. We love them. You can send them to contact at bigfatpositivepodcast.com. And finally, if you want to join the coolest group of people on the internet, search Facebook for Big Fat Positive Community, request to join. Make sure you answer those two questions so we know you're not a robot, and then you can get sent straight through to our awesome group of folks talking about pregnancy, parenting, and everything in between.
If you love our show, please rate us and review us wherever you listen to podcasts, and send one of your favorite episodes to one of your friends who might love our show. Let them know about BFP. Big Fat Positive is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone, and stick around for that voice memo. Here's what I want to know. Dr. Winter, is it possible for a child to inherit, like, all of the physical genes from one parent? I mean, how did she seriously not get any of my features? I feel like everything I see in her comes from Steve's side of the family. And I'm just curious, like, how one partner's genes can dominate seemingly everything. Like, is that possible or am I losing my mind?
Well, Shauna, I don't think you're losing your mind, but we're a combination of genes from our father and our mother and equal, and there's no way Cece is the only person on earth that only has her father's genes. Genes are dominant and recessive in the sense that one is almost always stronger, the one from the father, maybe in your case, who knows, than the other. But this plays out with 23,000 pairs of genes that they all sort of equal out. And no two people are alike, but there's no question Cece is half you. Color of eyes, color of hair, color of skin take more than one gene to determine. You can't fit it into one of the classic Mendel boxes, so to speak. It's too many genes involved. And so it's like a shooting craps. You don't know what's going to come up. Well, my reassurance to all parents are, genetically, your child is 50% you and a little more of the mom, because don't forget, your mitochondrial DNA only comes from your mom. So she's a little more you than she is Steve.